Have you been blessed so far today?
Amen.
Can you handle more blessing from the Lord?
Amen.
Well, most of you know that I am a bit of a sports fan, and there's nothing more exciting in sports than when you get to the end and the score is tied, because that means you get to go into extra innings. Well, folks, the score is tied. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you because you have drawn us. It's no accident that we are here today. We want to hear from you. May it not be my words, but yours and yours alone. Lord Jesus, may you be glorified. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Arguments. Anybody here like arguing? Do you just love a good argument? They're not really that much fun. There are some people who are actually paid to argue. Lawyers get money to argue. Talk show hosts make their living arguing with each other. But for most of us, arguing is not a fun experience. And there are some people who are actually dangerous to argue with. Did you know that? There are some. I'll give you a few. What about your spouse? That's kind of a dangerous person to argue with. If you're going to head that way, you better make sure that the argument is worth it. Who are some people that you would be fearful to argue with? Well, I was going to mention the danger of arguing with one's mother-in-law today. But my mother-in-law happens to be here today. So we're just going to skip that section of the sermon. I don't know what that guy did in the picture there, but he's in trouble, isn't he? No, actually, the Lord has blessed me with a wonderful mother-in-law. I'm not just saying that because she's here, because she actually watches the sermon every week online, so I have to be good all the time. But I am very grateful that she's here today. Who are other people that you might think twice about arguing with? Maybe a professor or a teacher. It'd be hard to argue with them because they're so knowledgeable about things. Would you argue with the professor? What about your boss? Would you argue with your boss? My boss is actually here today. I asked for a picture of him, and this is what the conference sent. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm very grateful to have Elder Carlson and Sue here with us today. Would you? I've enjoyed being here, folks. It's been a good run. Would you argue with your boss? Elder Carlson and I actually argue all the time. Might be shocking, but it's true. Because some arguments are just so important that you have to stand up for them. And so there are certain things that you just have to argue over. So we continue to go back and forth as to who's better, the New York Yankees or the other team up there. I'm not. The Minnesota Twins. Dangerous people to argue with. But would you ever argue with God? Have you ever done that before? Have you ever argued with the Bible as you read it? You see, this morning, as we celebrate what God has done here at Piedmont, as we celebrate the church's new expansion, I actually find myself arguing or maybe disagreeing with a Bible writer. And that Bible writer that I find myself kind of arguing with a bit today is none other than the Apostle Paul. Now, how crazy is that? If you were inclined to argue with any Bible writer, surely you wouldn't choose to argue with Paul, would you? And yet I find myself wanting to disagree with Paul today. So if you've got your Bible with you, I hope you do, or on a pad, turn it on, open it up, and turn with me to our scripture reading for today that Eula did a wonderful job sharing with. Philippians chapter 4. I'd like us to look at verse 10 and 11 to begin. And let's see why I am arguing with the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 10, it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. In verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Paul speaks about being content here, but not just content sometimes. He says, I've learned to be content in all things. In everything, I've learned to be content. Was Paul content in all aspects of his life? I think I want to disagree with Paul and say, no, not content in all things. Which I know, it's a scandalous notion, I know, to argue with Paul. So let me be clear up front. I agree with Paul's idea and with his thought. He was speaking truth without a doubt. But I disagree with us taking Paul too literally here and making him mean what he never meant to say. So what does Paul mean when he says that he's learned to be content in all things? Literally, content in whatever circumstances. Paul's talking about life circumstances here. He's talking about being hungry or full. And he was content with either. Look at verse 12. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Being free or being in prison didn't matter to Paul. He could handle whatever situation came. So maybe you think, wait a second, how did he do that? I want to do that. How do I get to the point where I can be content with whatever situation comes my way? Well, verse 13, he gives you the answer. Hopefully you got this one memorized. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul learned to trust God and to live a life of contentment no matter what twists in life came his way. But I think we make a mistake in thinking that Paul was literally content in all aspects of his life. Because there's another Bible passage from Paul that shows us that there was one aspect of Paul's life that he was never content with. And this next verse also shows us how he learned to trust God. If you turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's learn what Paul was not content with. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and verse 23. Paul says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often. In perils and waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and in thirst and fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Does this sound like a man who was content with just a little bit of ministry? Was this a man who was content with just a little bit of outreach in his life? My friends, I believe Paul was never content. Never content when it came to sharing the gospel. Look at all the places that this man traveled. Here he starts off down here in Jerusalem and then goes up all through Asia and all the way into Athens, Greece, and then he travels to Crete. He goes up all the way to Rome. And folks, he did this without an airplane, without a car. And he traveled all those places. Look at what this man endured. He said he was beaten. He was in prison. He was whipped, stoned, in danger everywhere he went, shipwrecked, hungry, thirsty. Does this sound like a person who was content with his past accomplishments? Content with what he had done for outreach in the past? Or was Paul driven? Someone desperate to share with just one more lost soul. Are we content with the past? We've done enough. Or are we driven to reach one more person for Christ? Let's talk about Jesus today too, not just Paul. Is Jesus content in all aspects of his life? Was Jesus content in heaven? When he was there in heaven, he's got all the universe, billions of galaxies, more planets than our minds can fathom. But one planet out of all of that is lost. Was Jesus content? Did he say, I got all this. I got everything else. I'm content. Not a chance. Instead, Jesus is the shepherd who leaves the 99 in order to find the one. Instead, Jesus says, I've got a lovely view of heaven, but I'd rather be with you. And so, he gets up from his throne. You see, if Jesus was content in all things, there is no reason why he would come to this world. If Jesus was content in all things, there's no way he would allow humans to beat him. He could have come here to this world and thought, you know, it's just enough. Just let me preach. That's good enough. I've got a good following going here. But you see, Jesus was not content with 12 disciples. He was not even content with just one race. He wasn't content with just one country. Jesus wants it all. If Jesus was content, he would never, never have allowed himself to go to the cross. It'd be far easier to be content. Stay where he's safe. Stay where he's secure. Just stay in heaven. It's far less painful to be content with the 99.999999% of the universe that was his. But God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit decided we are not content, and we are going after that one lost planet. My friends, is Jesus content with just you and me? Is that enough for him? Just you and me? Or does he want other people to be saved too and to know him? Like Paul, Jesus was not and is not content when it comes to the gospel. He wants more. And the final question I have for you today, is Jesus content with our connection to him? Or does he want a deeper connection with you? You see, I can think back. I can remember years ago to my life, and I remember being content. I was content with my family life. I was content with my apartment, content with my car, with my clothes. And this is the contentment that Paul is talking about, not trying to keep up with the Joneses. But Paul is also talking about saying, learning how to be content even if you lose the house and lose the job and lose the clothes. I was content years ago, loved my life, had a great job, an easy job I had years ago, had a great girlfriend. Her name was Jeanette, just to make that clear. Had great friends, happy, content, everything I wanted, or so I thought. Until one day, in reading the Bible, God spoke. And he said, Michael, what about me? And I thought, oh, man, okay, yeah, you're right, God. You're right, okay, what do you want? And I began studying the Bible, and this happened over time, but God began speaking, and God said, okay, Michael, I want your time. Really? Okay, I began studying. All right, you want my time? I'll give you Saturdays. Are you happy now? God said, no. He said, I want all your time. He said, oh, really? Come on. So I gave him my time. Are we good? No. Michael, I want your relationships. Okay. So I gave God my relationship with Jeanette. I said, all right, Lord, are you content? Okay, I began studying. All right, you want my time? I'll give you Saturdays. Are you happy now? God said, no. He said, I want all your time. I said, oh, really? Come on. So I gave him my time. Are we good? No. Michael, I want your relationships. Okay. So I gave God my relationship with Jeanette. I said, all right, Lord, are you content now? No. I want all your relationships. Wait, what? You mean even the people I don't like? Yeah. I want those relationships too. So I gave those to him. I said, okay, Lord, we're done now. You're content, right? He said, no. I want your finances. I said, oh, come on. But I studied and I learned. I said, fine, okay, you can have my tithe. Are we good now? He said, no. I said, what do you want? He said, I want all your finances. I said, but there's not much there. He said, I know. Trust me. So I gave him that. And I said, Lord, what else do you want? And he said, Michael, I want it all. I want your all. I want a deeper walk with you. And believe me, that was a long road to commitment. It didn't happen overnight. In fact, it was 4 years before I was baptized in this process. And then I was baptized and I was happy again. I was content. I was walking with God. All was good. But then after I was baptized, God asked me another question. And he said, Michael, not what about me, but he said, Michael, what about them? What about them? And I was no longer content. Paul was never content when it came to ministry. Jesus is not content with lost people staying lost. So I could not be content anymore. Content with where God has me. Content with what I'm doing. But when it comes to ministry, to outreach, when it comes to sharing the gospel, like Jesus and like Paul, we must never, never be content, church. There has to be more than one amen. Amen. We can never be content. We didn't build this expansion just for ourselves. God gave us this for ministry. He gave us a larger foyer where we can connect with people, with new people coming into this place. He gave us offices where pastors can meet with people, we can pray with people, we can plan for ministries and do Bible studies. God has given us a spot for seminars to happen, for the study of God's Word. But my friends, are we content with our ministry? Have we reached enough people here at Piedmont Park? Yeah, you can talk back to me today. It's okay. Or will we be like Paul and like Jesus and never be content? Friends, there's a war raging on this planet. We call this war the Great Controversy. And in this controversy, we are called to take a stand. We're called to pick a side and get involved. And you find that call in our last scripture reading for today. It's in Revelation 14. It's maybe one you've got memorized. We find the call to this battle in Revelation 14, verse 6. Turn it there. Read it as I read. Verse 6 says, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who come to church Saturday morning. That's not what it says? Let me take another look. Angel flying in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel to preach to those people who are the only ones that I like. Doesn't say that either. That has the everlasting gospel to preach to those people who think, act, and look just like me. Friends, that is not what your Bible says. It's not what my Bible says. It's not what any Bible says. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. The gospel is to go everywhere. Those are the marching orders, friends. God says, never be content when it comes to the gospel. That's why we're going to do God in shoes here, friends, to share the gospel with others. That's why we're going to start these Thunder in the Holy Land small groups and Bible studies, so we can keep sharing, so we can keep dreaming, church, of new ways to minister. Never give up. Never surrender. Never content. It was years ago, in the 1940s, when England faced off against Axis powers in World War II. They faced terrible odds and the outcome was bleak. And then Winston Churchill made his most famous speech. And that speech was to rally the hearts of the people. And he said these words, "We shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets, and we shall fight on the hills. We shall never surrender." And they never did surrender. Never content when it comes to outreach. Never give up. When it comes to the greatest battle, the greatest controversy, never surrender. But my friends, do you realize that time is running out for this planet? And I don't want to be on this planet. Not for one day more than I have to be. I don't want to go over to hospitals anymore to see moms who are having to say goodbye to their sons. I don't want to go there to see wives who are having to say goodbye to their husbands. There's just been too much loss and too much pain. I don't want it anymore. I want to go home. I want to go to heaven. But I will never, and we must never be content to go home alone. So Piedmont Park, we will share Jesus everywhere we go. We will share Christ in Lincoln. We will share him in Peru and overseas. We will support the Seventh-day Adventist Church in reaching all the world. But we must also share Jesus with people at the store, with our neighbors. We will share him with our family and with our friends, with the little things that we do. We must not be content. We must continue. We will press on. We will keep reaching out until that day when Christ stands up in heaven and he finally says, "It is over. The judgment is done." We will keep reaching out until that day when Jesus says, "I am going back to get my people." We must keep reaching out. In ministry, we must never, never be content. And when it's all over, and when the work on this world is done, it won't be about us. It'll never be about what we did. All the glory will always and forever be to God and to God alone. This day, my friends, I praise the Lord that our God is never, never content. Almighty Father in heaven, precious Lord and Savior, dear Jesus, and powerful Holy Spirit, we give you all the glory this day, for you have called us again to not stop, to not be content, but to press on and to reach out until more and more are able to give you glory to. For Lord Jesus, as beautiful as this church is, we want to be a part of your church in heaven. Amen. But we want that place to be filled to capacity, and then to have overflow rooms beyond that. So, Lord, we give you our hearts right now. And with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, if you feel the call to not be content, but to be a part of reaching out for someone else, I want you to raise your hand right now. And maybe the Lord will put that person on your mind, that name, that face that you need to start praying for. Or maybe it's a stranger that the Lord will bring to you. Raise your hand to God and say, I will not, I cannot be content anymore. Thank you. And Lord Jesus, you've seen the hands. More than the hands, you've seen the hearts. We give it all to you. And we give you all the glory this day and forevermore. And all those who are willing to not be content said, Amen. In Jesus' name. God bless each and every one of you. I want to remind you we will have our ribbon cutting ceremony in just a few moments. Thank you all, and happy Sabbath.